Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't.
Thank you.
Megyn Kelly, who poses as America's cheerleader when in fact she's the opposite. And during the first primary debate, she shanghaied, or whatever you want to call it. She stabbed Trump in the back. She set him up for an attack. She's never recovered from it. Her ratings are lower than that of the despicable freak show called the Rachel Maddow Show. It just shows you how they're... These people in the media are so suicidal, they'd rather lose ratings than dissatisfy their bosses. So in this debate tonight, let's talk about tonight. Megyn Kelly, who I call Snow White, for obvious reasons, has a cohort on Fox News named Chris Wallace, who I affectionately call Meatloaf Jr., for reasons I may or may not describe again later. I've done it too many times for it to be funny to me anymore. But we'll call Chris Wallace Meatloaf Jr. So today I ask you, how do you think Meatloaf Jr. will attack Donald Trump? Because you know Meatloaf Jr. is incapable of being a straight moderator. I mean, by the mere fact that he's a moderator, he's not a straight moderator. He's a setup artist. They all are. What do you think Meatloaf Jr. will do to attack Trump tonight? Now, I'll tell you right now, right off the bat, I'm not depressed over any of this. I'm kind of depressed. I'm not depressed over any of this. I'm agitated and sad at the same time. Trump has the power tonight to win the presidency. Debate one, he lost. Debate two, he won. This is the final round of a three-round fight. And the only way he wins tonight is by not letting Meatloaf Jr. or the others drag him into the mud of the sexual stuff, the woman stuff, because it's a false canard. They refuse to talk about all the people who have lost their lives in Libya, for example, Benghazi. I mean, we know what happened in Libya. We know it, and it should be brought up, and it's not an old story, it's a new story. It just came out this week from the WikiLeaks dumps. And they dumped it. You want to know the real story? Oh, you heard it, you're bored. You know all about the U.S.-made Stinger missiles supplied to Ansar al-Sharia without congressional oversight and permission. I know, you know all of that. You know Hillary brokered the deal through Ambassador Stevens with a private arms dealer named Mark Turi. You know all of that, right? And you know that the shoulder-fired missiles ended up in Afghanistan and used against our own military. You know all of that. And you know on July 25th, 2012, a Chinook helicopter was taken down by one of our own Stinger missiles. You know all of this. You don't want to hear about this. You'd rather hear about Donald Trump sneezing on an airplane and his droplets hitting a woman on the back of the plane in 1971. I know that that's much more important to the demented people in America. Now, you do know that Obama and Hillary committed treason by supplying these Stinger missiles to our enemies. You know that. And you do know that they threw Petraeus under the bus because he wouldn't supply these deadly weapons due to their potential use on commercial aircraft. And you know that Obama the snake threw Petraeus under the bus because he refused to testify that he okayed the talking points about a spontaneous uprising due to a YouTube video. And you knew that Hillary Clinton withheld support that the military was ready to give to save Ambassador Stevens and the special forces down there in Benghazi. But it's old news. And you know that Bo Bergdahl, remember him, was a traitor, a pawn. He was traded for five Taliban field generals by Barack Obama to make sure the five Taliban field generals could go back into the field. You know all of this. And that's why you support Hillary Clinton, because most of you are traitors. And it's too much for you to remember any of this. So I won't talk about it, because you're not going to hear about it tonight. But as one of the most listened to commentators in America. In streaming, the show is number one, no matter what anyone tells you, numbers don't lie. This is the number one streaming radio talk show in the United States of America by a huge number. My share is about a 25 share, which means one-fourth of all the people who are streaming radio talk shows are listening to this show. And the great Rush Limbaugh is at 13.7%. And he's a fabulous talk show host. He does the greatest imitations of Clinton from the 80s and things like that. I mean, it's really good to live in nostalgia. So the fact is that someone who's listened to, I have an obligation. And I'll be very honest with you. I've been on the front lines of this for so long, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm sitting on the ramparts with a loaded gun. And although I can fire the gun and my sights are clear, my vision is clear, I'm exhausted. If I'm exhausted, I can just imagine how you're feeling from this. I know you have election fatigue. I know that this is a dog and pony show. I know that most Americans hate the political system today more than they ever have in their whole lives. They also know that two of them, the least qualified candidates in American history, are running for the office. And I'll say that as a man who supported Trump. Don't think I'm a fool. For 1 minute, don't think I'm an idiot. He is not the most qualified man in the history of America to run for the Republican nomination, but he's the best that we have. And the proof of that is he's gotten this far. None of the others that were running, I don't have to go through it again. I know many of you are Cruz bots, and Cruz is a fine senator, but he couldn't have gotten this far. He's smarter than Trump. He knows the issues better than Trump. He's more of a constitutionalist than Trump. And I will say that. He's a fine man, but he would never have gotten this far against Hillary. So no, let's not debate that. But we're all exhausted from it. It's like any long battle. This is a plan by the establishment to wear us out so we don't care what they do after the election. This is a calculated plan to make the electorate so sick of politics that we pay no attention to what they do to us after the election. Do you know that? It may as well be. I can't prove that what I just said is true. But have you ever had as much election fatigue from any previous election in your lifetime as you have today? No, you don't. You're falling asleep. You can't take another minute of it. You're cracking up from it. Your mind is numb from it. You feel like you're walking in a fog from it. Although you will watch the debate tonight, you can't wait till it's over. There probably will be post-debate, thank God it's over, parties. I'm thinking of having one with my dog, Teddy. I don't know what to get him. A T-bone steak or a greenie. Whatever the thing I get him, I'm sure he'll appreciate. You're not going to get substance tonight from Meatloaf Jr. You're not going to get substance tonight from the commentators. You expect the commentators to talk about World War III? You expect the commentators to talk about the Dem operative who oversaw the Trump rally, agitators visited the White House 342 times? You expect any of the vermin in the media to disclose to you that a key piece of garbage in a Democratic scheme to send agitators to cause unrest at Donald Trump's rallies visited the White House 342 times since 2009, according to just-released White House records? You expect any of them to talk about Robert Creamer, who acted as a middle scum man between the Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, and protesters, who tried and succeeded to provoke violence at Trump rallies, met with President the Snake Obama 47 times, according to White House records? Do you expect to hear any of this tonight? No. Do you expect to hear tonight that Google's Eric Schmidt, another despicable backstabbing American, no matter how much he's worth, a no-goodnik, is working directly with the Clinton campaign? Did you hear what I just said to you? Eric Schmidt, the chief executive of Alphabet, Google's parent company, is working directly with Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, according to a memo contained within an email released by WikiLeaks. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This is all coming out. We have a shadow government run by some of the worst people in the history of America. In another century, men like Eric Schmidt, in my opinion, would have been called robber barons. Now, the reason I call Eric Schmidt a robber baron is because if you study Google's tax records, you will see that they do not pay their fair share. Now, all of you voters who liked the old man, the Seltzer man, I affectionately called him. I honestly forget his name. The old guy from New York who sounds like he sells corned beef and Katz's. I don't know his name. I'm blanking on it. I don't remember him. Who was he, Robert? Bernie the Seltzer man. Bernie the commie Seltzer man from Vermont, who's really from Brooklyn. Bernie knows that they're not paying their fair share. But Bernie never said anything about Google or Facebook, because Google and Facebook are on the same side as Bernie. But you people who wanted honesty in government, wouldn't you like to see Google pay their fair share of taxes? Wouldn't you like to see a legitimate government saying, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to use the triple Irish method to have your income come in through an Irish holding company so you don't pay federal tax? Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see Mark Zuckerberg? After all, it wouldn't hurt him. What is he worth, $58 billion? Think of how many less undershirts he would buy if he paid half of that in taxes immediately. Let's say he paid $24 billion for his political beliefs. He'd still be able to buy undershirts in Neiman Marcus for $80 a pop. I went into Neiman Marcus last week in San Francisco for the first time in my life just to see how the people who shop there live. I mean, I don't like fancy clothes. I enjoy the way I do like design. I mean, there's a pair of Prada shoes I like with spikes in them and stuff. But I saw an undershirt for $80. So I asked the salesman to show it to me. I said, excuse me, how does this $80 undershirt differ from like Fruit of the Loom for $3 for $5? He said, well, it's the design. I said, okay, so that $80 an undershirt. Fine, it looks nice. I actually tried it on. It does look different than the $3 undershirt. I got to hand it to you. The design is different. I look quite spiffy in that $80 undershirt. I may use it when the TV cameras go live here in January. I'll try it one day. I'm still in great shape, by the way. People don't know that. People say, oh, you know, he's another fat conservative. No, I'm in great shape. I'm a lion, and I'm still on the front lines. And you're not going to hear about any of these things about Google working directly with the Clinton campaign tonight from Meat Loaf Jr. or anyone else. It came out. Nor would you hear that liberal billionaire money changer in the temple, George Soros, is mentioned over 50 times in leaked Hillary campaign emails. That's right. Jim Hoft, Gateway Pundit. The liberal billionaire funder, who has been tied to a globalist elite pushing the Muslim migrant crisis and multiculturalism onto Western societies. Isn't this ironic that a man of Jewish heritage who escaped the Nazis would want to push Muslims into Europe and America? Can anyone figure that out for me? Because to me, it makes no sense. Muslims hate Jews. Oh, I know I'm not supposed to say that. I just read the Quran a few times, and I seem to see references constantly to Jews are this, Jews are that, Jews are this. And every time you get in a little sneaky microphone into one of the old mosqueroos, they're preaching the Jew this, the Jew that. How come Jews love Muslims so much? Now, mind you, I don't have anything against Muslims. I hope that they turn out to be okay for America. I hope that all those women in burqas who walk around with slits covering their bodies, except for slits over there, I hope that they turn out to be great American citizens. I do. I mean, CARE tells me they're going to be wonderful, loyal Americans who love our borders, language, and culture. I hope that they're right. But why was Soros mentioned 56 times throughout the 11 batches of emails put out by WikiLeaks, which shows collusion between him and Hillary Clinton? It's an interesting question. And then there's, of course, the story about the aging hack, Madonna, who no one listens to anymore. I found her, as a man personally, I mean, I got to say this without sounding misogynistic. I know, let me do it, because no matter what I say now, I'm going to pull a Trump. Let's put it to this way. I always found Madonna to be physically unattractive. I thought she was a fabulous entertainer with enormous energy, but she was hiding basically a hideous persona. She was overcompensating for being like, okay, let's put it this way. If I were casting a Martin Scorsese movie and I needed like a kind of a homely Italian daughter who lived with her parents because nobody would marry her because she had no talent, it would be Madonna. She could play that kind of girl. There's nothing wrong with it. Most of humanity is that way. Most of us are not that attractive. Most of us are normal. Most of us look in the mirror and cry. Most of us look in the mirror and wish we were somebody else. Isn't that a terrible thing to admit? That's a truth, though. You know it's true. Every morning at the gym rats, I hear in Las Vegas, everyone in that stuff, first thing in the morning, 5 o'clock, they put on the sweatsuits. I got a reporter ready from the hotel. They ran to the gym. Oh, yeah, let them get back to me when they're 60. We'll see if they're still running to the gym. If they had brains, what they would have done is gotten up, gone to the bathroom, brushed their teeth, and gone back to sleep for another 2 hours. They probably live an extra 20 years. I'll be back in a minute to report about tonight's events, not on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So Trump is like the Elvis tonight. You know, the Trump will bring in more people than Elvis did at his peak. Think about that one. Now, if you... Okay, turn it off already. A migraine. Hit the migraine level. Las Vegas. I have a very loyal audience in Las Vegas. If you're listening to me, Las Vegas, hello. How are you? How you doing? I probably have the highest number of hookers of any talk show host. No, we have to do a poll on that. Who has the highest number of hookers who like listen to talk radio? Do any of them listen to talk radio? I would think so. What, just because a woman sells her body doesn't mean she doesn't have a brain? I'm trying to be serious about that. What, you think everyone who's a prostitute is stupid? I mean, take a look at the political class. I was looking into the top cities of my radio show. Number one, New York. Number two, San Francisco. Number three, Detroit. Number four, Washington, D.C. Number five, Dallas, KLIF. Number six, Chicago. Number seven, Sacramento. Number eight, Hartford, Connecticut. Number 10, Los Angeles. And those are the top cities for the show. Would you believe that? It's interesting. It's out of nowhere. I'm just saying the sales of the book, I asked them for the scorched earth where it's selling the most. It's even selling in cities where the show isn't heard on a terrestrial station. I'll give you an example. Los Angeles, big seller in L.A. The show is not broadcast in Los Angeles, even though I've been on the air for 3 years, owing to political issues in Los Angeles with a genius who runs the station down there. The man collapsed the station. There was 0-1 rating, and I'm still not on the station. How do these things go on in this country? I don't understand this, how corporations run. So, look, we're going to do the lot. Here's the only good news of the day. San Francisco Tech Titans push initiative to clear out homeless. I don't know about you. I'm sick of the homeless.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, we're at cruising altitude. Please settle back, remove your seatbelts, have a drink, whatever. You can even smoke on my airplane, for all I care. But the thing is this, look, we're building up to the last debate. It's going to be over, and thank God it'll be over. Everyone's going to decide who won tonight, and then it'll be like, can he still win? Did he beat her? If he beats her, he can still win. If he loses, he's done. If he lets her get the upper hand, it's like a sumo match. If she grabs him with the hand and pushes him around the ring, he's done. He can't win today. That's the end of it today. If, on the other hand, he doesn't take the bait from Meatloaf Jr. or any of the other snakes, and he goes on the attack, no matter what they say to him, he shrivels Meatloaf down to a green pea. You shrivel Meatloaf up. I told him on the show Monday, hey, look, don't consider me a marginal player just because I have an accent like an ex-truck driver from New York in the 50s. Don't underestimate me just because I sound like a longshoreman on the waterfront. I'm neither of those things, and I have nothing against longshoremen or truck drivers, believe me. But Donald Trump was on this program on Monday. Everyone else talks about Trump. I'm the only one who gets him on the air. So you just be clear here what you're listening to. I told Trump on Monday on this show the following, and I'll repeat it again in case you didn't hear it. I said, if Meatloaf comes at you, that's Chris Wallace, with that snick, that sneer, that fixed sneer, like I said yesterday, I'll say it again. Some women put on hair nets at night to keep their hair in place. That creep looks like he puts on a face net to keep the sneer in place. That's not a bad line. It's good. It's original. But now let's go past that. I said to Donald Trump, I said, if he comes at you with a setup, which he's going to do, because he works for Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch is already in Hillary's camp. He works for Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch's in Hillary's camp. I said, if the puppet comes at you tonight with an attack, the way Megyn Kelly did in the primaries, don't answer him. Pull a Reagan on him. Stand back, smile, don't get angry. Don't pull one of your famous Donald Trump anger jobs. Do a Reagan. Pull back, smile. Look at him, look down at him. And say, you know, Chris, I knew your father, Mike Wallace, who would be rolling over in his grave right now with shame for you. because he was a real distinguished man. He'd be ashamed for what you are doing. I said, what you'll do with that, Donald, is you'll reduce him to the mini-me of his father that he's always been. He's lived in his father's shadow all his life. He's embarrassed that he never came up to his father's level on 60 Minutes. He's just a marginal yenta on Fox News. A glorified bakery guy in Queens. In other words, there were guys in the bakery business when I was a kid who were like that. The guys in there, you know, they can schmooze you over a cupcake. You want a little couple of rolls with those? You know, that guy, you know, not a bad guy. But Major League, he's not. Not known for his intellect. Has Meatloaf Jr. written a book that anyone's bought? Robert, I don't know. My Life with Daddy? Life with Father by Meatloaf Jr.? Has Megyn Kelly written a book yet that anyone bought? I don't know. She had Maureen Dowd on her show, like, I think for 3 weeks running. The book sold 12 copies. Nowhere. Everywhere you turn, Maureen Dowd. She came out when my book came out. My book outsold her like 1,000 to 1. How is it that I, an unknown talk show host, have such a loyal book-buying audience? Right? All right, yeah, it's not resonating. I can feel it already. I'm going... Play To Live and Die in L.A. for me. Get my mind going. I'll do some more radio in a minute. Right now, I'm going to play. That's all. I'd rather play music all week. You know, just talk about the debate till it goes on. I love that they've got the clocks going. Was Wolf Blitzer woke up, and the only thing on his mind was how many minutes were left on the clock. Will he be seen drinking Chardonnay after Hillary says something good tonight? Wolf Blitzer gets a thrill up his leg, the one honest leg. The one leg that's not wooden. He gets one thrill coming up the real leg. Michael Savage interviews Donald Trump. I think I'm going to replay the Donald Trump interview in the second hour. Many of you missed it. So I woke up this morning and I said, what am I going to do today that's different? Because it's got to be different or it's a bore. Don't even go on the air. Take the day off, go to the museum, have dim sum, go to sleep, and then go to the club at the end of the day. Drink a few vodkas and call it a day. Fartik done. I was going to do that too. I was going to take the day off. Then I said, wait a minute. Okay, I was going to come in tomorrow to talk about the debates tonight, because today there's nothing to talk about. But then I said, wait a minute, there is a lot to talk about. It's about all the things they're not going to talk about, number one. And number two, I'm going to get stuff from all of the other debates to show you how biased they are. And I did already play for you Snow White in the first one when she came out swinging. So let's play another one now of Snow White, who pretends to be America's cheerleader when she's actually not, in clip 06, and you'll see what to expect tonight from her cohort, Loaf Jr.
Mr. Trump, in 1999, you said you were, quote, very pro-choice, even supporting partial birth abortion. You favored an assault weapons ban as well. In 2004, you said in most cases you identified as a Democrat. Even in this campaign, your critics say you often sound more like a Democrat than a Republican, calling several of your opponents on this stage things clowns and puppets. When did you actually become a Republican?
Well, we could say to you, Megan, when did you actually become a journalist? Did you get a card, an official card from the Society of Professional Journalists? Because I haven't seen Megyn Kelly's card of being a professional journalist. She's a glorified, let's put it this way, it's a family show. She's a good-looking woman, if you like the Nordic American type. That used to be popular. It's not as big as it was, because of the changing demographics of America. The Nordic American look is not as hot as it once was. You know that. Like, old blonde cheerleader. That used to be the hottest thing on earth. Maybe they're not even hot anymore to the average American. You look at models and this and that. They're not featuring the blonde Nordic woman. For years, they dominated the whole woman thing. You had to have blue eyes. You had to have blonde hair. You had to have like a Betty and Veronica figure. Oh, God. I'm going back to the Archie comics. So, okay, let's get real for a minute here. This is actually as real as we can ever get. Because there's nothing else to talk about. The debate tonight. What do you want me to do? Tell you what the questions are? I don't know what they are. I can tell you what they're going to be like. They're going to attack him from the first second. Just look, it's as simple as that. If he takes the bait, he's finished. He's done. If he goes on a defensive about, did you sneeze on a woman? Did you rub against her? Did you brush against her? Did you do this? He's done. Hillary will lead him around the ring like a sumo and throw him off the mat. That's it. If, on the other hand, when the debate begins, if he goes to the attack and talks about Stinger missiles, Benghazi, if he talks about the death of Chris Stevens, if he talks about the report that came out yesterday in the Inquirer about her having female lovers. I mean, all he's got to do is say, look, yesterday a big publication came out in the National Enquirer from a man who worked for you for many years, which says that you had many women lovers while your husband was president. Is that still true? I mean, it would bring the house down. Tell me it wouldn't bring the house down. Do you still like women in that way? Nothing wrong with it. We're not saying it's morally wrong. We're asking you if you still like women after what your husband did to you. It's like he could even lean it that way now that I think about it. He could say, because your husband continuously wounded your pride by having everything with a pulse in the Oval Office, we understand that you were injured by that. Do you still like women in that way? Or is that all false? Do you care to address those allegations? Now, Meatloaf Jr. would have a stroke on the stage. He'd lose control of it. What would happen for Donald is anyone's guess. My guess is the audience would love it, meaning you. Never mind the people who are going to be in the theater. See the cameras, like a fight, who's going to be in the front row. It's like they're seating people front row. He's got the whole family there, the blonde family. He's overplaying them, by the way. It's too much. They're nice people, don't get me wrong. It's too many blonde, svelte women. Last time I checked, most women don't look like that. So there's a resentment factor. I'm just giving a little of the whole... Is no one in his family fat? Doesn't he have a distant relative who's misshapen? Couldn't he bring his sister in who's a judge? Some normal-looking person, not like a beauty queen. That would help him more than more of the svelte blondes. I can't imagine what the diet is like in the Trump camp. Don't they ever eat anything? How do they stay so slender? I mean, they're beautiful women and children, no less, and they're still thin. How do they do that? It's genetics, I guess. But not everybody likes competing with a perfect first family. See, it's another thing. Maybe they want someone like who has like a normal kid or something, or like a sister-in-law who's like a little nuts who talks to herself in the front row. Like even a drooler would be better for him right now. Even if he put a drooler in the front row and said with pride, I'd like you to meet my sister, the drooler. She's a wonderful person. Don't be fooled by her appearance. That would work for him in America today. 50% of America looks like that. They're just capable of getting their welfare check. That's about it. They don't know anything more, so they would relate to that more than the svelte. I'm just thinking out loud. That's all. Filling airspace with reality. This is the kind of reality that I feel is the best. What's this now? Canada Free Press article is one. It really is. No one's talking about it. Came out from the WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton wouldn't intervene on my behalf. Hillary Clinton, in other words, agreed with England to ban me from England. Totally illegal. Total lie, total setup. She was Secretary of State, supposed to represent me, didn't. Huge story. No one covered it. Only Alex Jones had me on. Go figure that out. Think about that. Nobody in the American media would cover that story. So what do you expect tonight? Expect truth in politics? Russians are sailing a battle group through the English Channel. And we're talking about not a rust bucket 1970s aircraft carrier. We're talking about state-of-the-art aircraft carrier, battle cruiser, destroyer, state-of-the-art submarine through the English Channel to tell the Brits, screw you. You can't get out of your own way. You can't protect your women from Muslims who are raping them in the streets. And you think you're going to stop us? That's what Russia's saying. They're saying to England, you're nothing. There's nothing there anymore. The men threw their country into the toilet. They don't even like women. Most of the men in England don't even date. Well, okay, let's let that one go. That's an old story. There's nothing new about that. It's just nothing wrong with that. I'm saying that's what you like. Go ahead. That's what happens to your nation. Become like Nero, staring at yourself in a reflecting pool. What do you expect to happen? So Putin sailing through. Nothing. That won't come up tonight. Meatloaf won't bring it up. That's not going to happen. And that's it. Does anyone like what I'm doing or not? Because I'll shift gears to do a regular radio show. I'm getting a slight migraine from this. It's like too many. How long is this campaign going on? It feels like 3 years now. And what's going to happen after this is the question. I'm taking a long vacation. Oh, man, I can't wait. So I say I'm taking a long vacation, right? Haven't I said that before? Till the day comes that I have to decide. You know what goes on in this family, the conversations. So do you want to go to here? No, I rule it out for these reasons. And then by the time it's over, I go nowhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I travel too much in my life. I don't like travel. I'm one of those people. I don't like travel. You only travel for either two reasons, funerals or weddings. or if a relative is sick. That's if you even have a relative you talk to. And since I don't, that you can rule that one out. And weddings, maybe another one will come up soon, maybe in 15 years. Funerals, the next one will be mine. I'm the oldest. And since I can't go to my own funeral, there it is. I'm not going to travel. I figured it out. That one Mark Twain would like, that he's looking down at heaven saying, that was a good one. Mark Twain had a great line about that. He said, sir, where do you get your exercise? Do you get any exercise? And when he's an older man, he said, yes. He said, I get my exercise walking to the funerals of my more athletic friends. That's why I say, when I heard this morning in Las Vegas, the whole news team, everyone was up with their jogging suits on in the hotels, running to the gym at 5 in the morning, you know, coffee, kale juice, showing off how healthy they are. I guarantee you, I can guarantee you as I stand here, they're not making it to 70. No, they're not getting past the 70 line. Nobody who goes to a gym at 5 in the morning is going to lift the 70. It's impossible. It's against the biorhythm. The biorhythms of Homo sapiens, no man in the history of the world gets up at 5 in the morning and goes to a gym and lives very long. It's impossible. Oh, you get a hard body and you got nice abs and you feel good, but your body's screaming, are you an idiot? Are you a moron? No animal, no mammal on earth comes out of a cave at 5 in the morning unless somebody's threatening their wife and children and comes out with a spear. Otherwise, you go back in the cave. What are you, nuts? You go back in the cave and hold your wife for another couple hours till the sunlight comes up. But in Las Vegas, there they are, in the gym, treadmill, like little rats running around on the treadmill, ready to go, ready to rise and shine. This little old, I forget his name, the other one, the little guy looks like a chestnut guy. I used to like him on Fox News, no more. I only like Robert Varney. He's the only one I kind of like on. He's good on Fox News. He's like a man, a regular man. The others, I don't know. There's something wrong. Everything's gone wrong with everyone in the media. I don't have anyone I like anymore. I have to watch foreign news in translation to get any semblance of intellectual coverage, a discussion. Everything else is a soundbite. All right, I'll be back in a minute. If you don't like what I'm saying, I pity you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have only a minute left till break time. Then we're back. I'll do the eating during the break, gagging on the lunch, having a power lunch on my own. Can't be too bad to gag on food. I'm still alive. I mean, these long lunches in fancy restaurants, look what it does for the people. But do you disagree with me that Trump's family is too good-looking to help him? Because most Americans are not that good-looking. He's got to have the one relative. There's got to be someone somewhere who drools on themselves or talks to themselves, spills soup on themselves, and they put in the front row like with a bib, with an attendant. And then like they say, this is my, you know, cousin Norma, and she's really a nice person. Don't be frightened of her. She screams inappropriately sometimes. She curses people, but she doesn't mean anything by it. In that way, she's very much like the woman I'm running against, but it just shows you what you can do with such a state of mind. I actually think you should find the kind of relative. I went to a... I can't say it because it's too powerful. And the other side, forget about that one. No, I met a guy, he's a big Democrat. Good-looking guy, very svelte, looks like the Godfather. He introduced me to his brothers. It was like a madhouse. Beards like the guys who like do the whistles in Mississippi. Whatever happened to that guy? The duck guy. I never liked that whole scene. The Republicans embracing the duck man with a duck whistle. I don't like... It looked like deliverance to me. Like if you make the wrong turn in the swamp, they wind up raping you over a stump. Why do the Republicans embrace guys like that with those weird beards? It's like car shows. I like car shows, but there's a few of them on Velocity where the guys have like pervert beards. I don't mind a beard. I have one myself, but there's a pervert look to certain beards. Am I wrong? Like a certain straggly. I don't like it. Very unkempt.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is a guarantee that tonight will be another travesty of the American media. Welcome to The Savage Nation, hour number two. Now, many of you are saying, why doesn't Donald Trump bring up the National Enquirer Hillary's sex story with women? And I said to you yesterday, because there's no smoking gun. If there was a smoking hen on this story, the sex story would have eggs. But there is no smoking hen. If, there's his fix, her fixer, who worked for them, they say, claims that she had ladies in and out, and he did, we all know about him. And I'm saying, unless they bring the woman up, like let's say her name is Norma, I'm imagining, and she, what would she be today in age? Like a 65-er? Like the type where the legs have shrunk inside the stockings that you see sitting feeding pigeons in Central Park? Sorry. Let's say that they bring a Norma up, they give her a new outfit with a purse, and Donald Trump says, I'd like to introduce a woman who had relations with Hillary Clinton. I mean, who would care about that? Even that's not a big enough story. It actually would increase Hillary's appeal, because people would say, wow, I didn't know she was that wild. That's great. I thought she was like a dowdy old grandmother. This is cool. So the millennials are liable to come out and start to vote for her if they found out that she was running around with women while in the White House. They would like that, I think. Because that's never going to happen with Melania. I mean, you know that they're straight, those two. They're with each other. That's not what they do. Or you know about it. With Clinton, on the other hand, you know already. Even with the heart attack and the four new valves or the four new arteries, he's still... They say, come on, he's still a wild guy, you know. The women love him, and they got a glint in his eye. That old Bill. But you didn't know what was good for the goose was good for the gander. Actually, what's good for the gander is good for the goose in this case. So they shouldn't bring it up. And don't expect substance from any of them tonight. You're not going to hear about the Russia. You're not going to hear about nuclear war that Hillary wants, or World War III with Russia. That is so beyond the average person out there. It's not real to them. See, I do my show from several different studios. I'm primarily in a white suburban neighborhood. It's my way of being Voltaire and observing the Parisians in the 19th century. So I observe white middle-class behavior the way Voltaire observed Parisian behavior in the 19th century. And he wrote about it. He wrote about all of their, you know, their lifestyle, what they did. He ridiculed them. And he became very, very famous. That's what he did. He observed them. So I look at these people as though I'm from Brobbingdang, looking at them, and I see guys in the suburbs doing the normal things that people did in the 50s, like nothing changed. The lawn is mowed, the car is washed, the children are on skateboards. They don't know anything about World War III looming because of the lunatic in the White House provoking Putin. The way that, even if they read about it, you know what they would say? There's nothing I could do about it. I'll worry about it when it happens. Johnny, come in for your lunch. Jenny, come in for your Adderall. That's all. They bring the kids in for the medication and the sugary foods. And the wife is somewhere in Pillville in the back of the house. She don't care what's going on. She's looking at herself in the mirror taking pills. It's like watching the Stepford Wives wherever I go. It's like a lunatic. No one seems to know anything about anything. Crazy. So you expect them to care that I have an email finally that was released by WikiLeaks that came out over the weekend, that Hillary intervened personally to not intervene on my behalf and help keep me banned in Britain. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to go to Britain. And I have the actual email. But I have good news for you. I just got news right now. We are posting a digital version of Banned in Britain with all of the Hillary emails, all of the emails from the British Prime Minister banning me to make Muslims feel better. And here it is. And my letters to them, Minister Gordon Brown, blah, 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 Prime Minister Gordon Brown. And it's all in this book. It's not going to be a big seller. I'm not going to buy new tires for my car, but I'm doing it so there's a permanent record for you to buy. It'll be like a couple of bucks on a Kindle edition. It'll be up in the next 24 to 48 hours. I just want you to know about it. I'm bypassing publishers. I've got a digital edition of Banned in Britain. It's going up on Amazon Kindle, and you'll be able to buy it for a few dollars. So you have a permanent record of what Hillary Clinton did. I'm telling you right now. Tech support said it'd take only 12 hours until people can buy it once it's live, down from 40. Okay, so it'll be up by the weekend. And wait, there's another treat. I got to tell you, I'm so excited. Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I shouldn't. There's too much stuff for people. I can't remember all of this. Okay, when the next thing comes up, I'll tell you about it. So that's very, very interesting for me. Now, let's go to the callers. God, time is so short. Time is so short. I think people are enjoying my shtick today. I really do. Linda on WDRC. Linda, what's on your mind?
Well, my head's ready to explode. Let's get the election over with already. But I've laughed out loud 3-4 times in the first hour. And the Norma Cousin and the duck whistle guy.
Yeah.
Sing it up.
But it's all true. Don't you wish Trump had some kind of Norma as a relative who we put in the front row who drools on herself?
Well, yeah, everybody has one in the family, but it would make it more human, maybe. I don't know, but...
Is that what I'm saying, that they're all too perfect?
I never really had that opinion one way or the other. I thought they conducted themselves well, and...
They do. I'm not putting them down, but I don't think it's a net plus for them, for him, to have perfect relatives in the front row. All these spelt blondes. You know, everyone's like perfect. No one's perfect. Everyone in the family has some weirdos. And then you like the duck whistle part. Where what were they embracing, that guy with the weird beard, right?
Because everybody can relate. I mean, there's people that everybody knows. I mean, I actually used to watch the show, and I found those people charming in a simple form of way. You know, so.
But what that came and went, where the Republicans were inviting guys like that to speak, that were genius like me, they don't want to talk to me. He came to the events and spoke like an intellectual genius. The most thing he did in life was invent a duck whistle. It just shows you where the heads were at. All right, Linda, I'm not jealous. I'm doing well. There's room for everybody. Everyone's got to make a buck. And I'm sending you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my best-selling book right now? Fire away.
Scorched Earth.
Oh, scorched earth. Copy goes out to you. Fresh, cold, clean. Now let's go on to another topic. Anthony on KSVO is calling. You're not going to believe this call, because I can't believe it's real. Anthony, line 4, you're up on the Savage Nation from San Francisco. What's on your mind?
Well, it's real. This is a real call. I listen to you every day because I'm out and about every day traveling. I own a mortuary transport company. And you had mentioned about how, a little while ago, how people, you know, how they eat and they do this and they exercise in the morning. Let me tell you something. I've been doing this for over 10 years. It does not make a difference whether you exercise, whether you're healthy. I've seen all kinds of people that have died, no matter if they're vegan, no matter if they're, you know, on a special diet. When it
what,
is-
you mean vegans die? Vegans are mortal? That's impossible. How could you say vegans are mortal? That's a violation of every belief system in America today.
It's a shocker, but I've seen...
Are you telling me that in the mortuary you see people who eat gluten-free diets? That's impossible.
It is. It does happen. It happens a lot.
I don't agree with you 100%. The fact is that we can't control the outcome of our life to a certain extent. Eating garbage is not going to, you know, help you in any way. It's, you know, smoking's not going to help you. My point was a little different, was being fanatical about these things will probably lead you to an earlier grave than you might imagine.
Yes, and it does happen. So, you know, when I hear people, you know,
Well, let's put it to you this way. I remember when I worked in a morgue in Queens General Hospital. I did it for one day. I got so sick from the corpses, I couldn't take it. I was going through a weird phase. I was 18. I come back from Europe. My mind was a little, you know, weird. And I wanted to, like, see reality. I took a job as a mortuary assistant in Queens General Hospital. To this day, I have nightmares. And I watched the autopsies. And the three autopsies I saw stuck in my mind forever. And I don't want to repeat them now on the show. But, I mean, they varied from, I don't want to go into this. This is too morbid. But I learned something. I mean, at the end of life, it's pretty equal whether you are a three-year-old child who died from SIDS, God forbid, an elderly, obese woman, or a fairly svelte middle-class man. At the end of life, it's all the same. That's quite a cheerful thought. The radio dial just got tuned. Everyone started hitting the numbers. Even the guy who called in hung up. I think he's gone. He got so depressed with this conversation. I got chest pains just from talking about it. I got really severe pains now on the left side of my... Are you still there, sir? No, he's gone. I knew it. Even he hung up. It was so depressing and so morbid that he hung up on me, even though he initiated the topic. And I have severe pains now on the left side of my body. That's from the Chinese food I just gagged on during the break. I switched from like a... Oh, it's awful. The food out here in Marin County is so contemptible, it's beyond belief. How do people live in this place with the work? Well, there's only maybe one or two restaurants that I could eat in without throwing up. It's like child food. Everything is coated in sugar, rolled in honey. It's like, where did the nuts come from? They started rolling them in honey. Bad for your teeth, bad for your heart, bad for your liver. Unbelievable. Honey roasted nuts. What's wrong with a nut? Who came up with honey? Why? Who ruined the Chardonnay in California? When I first moved out here in 74, you could get a bottle of Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc that tasted like Chardonnay. It was a Chardonnay grape. And then what happened over the time was that because so many children grew up on sweets, the winemakers started to alter the product to make them sweeter and creamier, until eventually it's nothing but soda water with sugar in it, which they call Chardonnay. Sure, it's a Chardonnay grape with sugar in it. I can't drink it. The only wines I actually drink are... Let me go into it. I don't want to go into that. It's not true 100%. Some of it, okay, you can get. But everything became sweet, creamy. And it's the same thing with honey-roasted nuts, because no one will eat a real food anymore. Why must everything be dosed in sugar? We're all suffering from the sugar disease. The worst toxin, by the way, is not fat, it's sugar. You don't know that. I hope to God there's not one advertiser I haven't alienated. Did I alienate everyone who advertises on this show? Do we have any products that have sugar in them? Oh, God, we do. It's coming up for the Christmas season. I take it all back. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Yeah, you got to be so careful in radio. If you really let it fly, everyone loves you and you lose all your advertisers. It's that simple. What's this now? Bernie likes me on SBA in Pennsylvania. Thank God someone hears me. Bernie, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I was just wondering if you were an Edgar Allan Poe fan, because it sounds like your sense of humor is that kind of...
It's dark. It's cryptic. It's cryptic. Underneath it all is a cryptic sense of humor, yes.
Have you ever read The Gold Bug?
I know Poe very well. He was a weirdo.
Oh, my gosh. The Gold Bug actually has a cryptogram in it. I don't know if you know that.
A cryptogram of what?
Well, there's supposedly Billy the Kid had buried treasure, and his character in The Gold Bug tries to find it, but there's like a hieroglyphic cryptogram that he has to find and figure out first, and he does eventually figure it out. But
and what's the point of the story, though?
Well, it kind of reminds me of you, because this whole political process is almost like a cryptogram, and you've got it figured out.
I do have it figured out. It is. It is a cryptogram. The whole thing is very cryptic. The whole thing is a charade. They're leading us somewhere. We don't even know it. And my fear is that they made this election process so long so that we become absolutely benumbed to the political process and never want to engage in it again.
Oh, my gosh. That's it.
Where they can do to us as they will. Look what Obama has gotten away with for these 8 years now. Take a look at what this man has done. Even liberals say he's created the largest spy agency in the history of the world, and you never hear about it. But these were liberals screaming about it. He violates the Constitution. He violates all of the oaths of his office, and he gets away with it. So what do you think is going to happen if she wins, the lady from Chappaqua? What do you think is going to happen? That's such a loaded question. All right, let me send you a copy of what? What do you want? Which book do you want? Name it, you gain it.
Scorched Earth, all the way.
You got it, man. You got it. Signed by Edgar Allan Savage. Well, you know, the time is racing here. I can't believe this. I thought it was going to be sluggish. Like, it's 20 minutes after the hour already, of the second hour. I don't know how it's a genius to be able to do this. I schlep into the show some days. I don't think I can do it. I'm tired. I'm like drained. I'm exhausted. I really don't want to do it. I'd rather just go to the museum, have dim sum, go to sleep, and then go to the club tonight, have a few drinks, and call it a day. And the minute I get started, my brain starts functioning like a V16 Cadillac, and here we are. I'll be back to take your calls. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Allegedly the car, but I think it was a little about the girlfriend. You know, I was thinking about the sex obsession of America, how this whole campaign got, like, dragged into the filthy gutter, and why it makes sense in a certain way. Because nobody wants to think about the inevitable. Like, why would you think about World War III with Russia caused by Obama and the stupid women around them? The stupid sorority that wants to push Putin to war. Why would you want to think about that, since you can't do anything about it, since he's above the law? So it's better to talk about who Donald Trump sneezed on in 1981. But the thing is this, there's actually a genius in the American psyche that's obsessed with sex, when you think about it. Because I did a segment on the mortuary, and people got depressed. A close friend of mine just said, I had to turn the show off. I don't want to hear about a mortician and a mortuary, because no one wants to think about that. So your mind immediately goes to the other side, which is sex. Sex is the opposite of dying, isn't it? Of course, the French were smarter than we are, and their language calls an orgasm the petite mort, the little death. So it's all connected again. All roads lead to the same thing. At the end of the day, there's no getting around it. Don Juan was right. Death is always with us, even in this campaign.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The fix is in. George Soros, one of the most evil men on the planet, in my opinion, has companies that is providing voting machines in 16 states. We have become not a banana republic, but something lower than that. Trump is 100% right. They're fixing the election the same way that Arnold Rothstein fixed the 1919 World Series. They can't do it? Oh, you can't fix the World Series? So I want you to hear something. Many of you missed this interview on Monday. This was the last interview that Donald Trump gave. I think that's the last one you're going to hear till the election. And we got it in on Monday. It's a seminal interview because during this interview, which is now historic, Donald Trump said, and I led him, and you'll see, I didn't mean to, that you'll see how I led into it. What he said to me wound up being reported by the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, CNN, CBS News, Daily News, Breitbart, The Hill, MSNBC, Charlotte Observer, UK Daily Mail, Washington Times, Newsmax, Associated Press, WND, and others. It was a very important interview that will go down in history. Either I will have helped him because what he said makes sense, or because of the bias in the media, it will turn out to have hurt him. So listen for yourself and you decide. Did the following interview with Donald Trump on the Michael Savage Show from this Monday help him or hurt him? We have a special guest for you right now. The best guest in the whole world that we could have right now. A day that I am fighting for my life. Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation, Mr. Trump. What a day it is.
It's been great, Michael. We've had a good day, I will tell you.
Well, I don't want to talk about me, but Donald, this is such a big story. Did you see the email that was released over the weekend by WikiLeaks where Hillary Clinton refused to intervene on my being banned in Britain?
That I haven't seen. I saw the one with the FBI where the FBI is in cahoots with the Department of State, State Department, and with the Justice Department. That is a big story, I guess.
Donald, this was on the Drudge Report for 24 hours. One of the WikiLeaks releases showed an email with her name on it from Hillary Clinton at the time, saying she was not going to intervene to get my name off the banned list, to Cheryl Mills. This is major league, Donald, but it's so tied into what you represent. I say it's life under Trump and death under Clinton, and I mean the death of our First and Second Amendments for sure. Mr. Trump, you are the only thing we have left between us and pure anarchy.
Well, it's going very well. I guess polls just came out from CNN an hour ago, and they have us up by 4 in Ohio and doing really well everywhere. And this despite the press that's horrible, phony. They print lies. They want to put lies on all the time, and you see it better than anybody. They have stories that are fabricated, and they put them on the front page of total lies that they're willing to print on the front page of newspapers. And despite
Donald, where do they get all of these tarts from? Where do these tarts come from?
Michael, there's a backlash like I've never seen before. I just heard from Mike Pence. He said there's a backlash like he's never seen. People know it's all phony stuff. And that's why I say the election's rigged. It's rigged by the media. They're willing to put front page stories on that are lies. And the elections are rigged by the media. And by the way, they're also, if you look at the polls and the polling places in various cities, they're also rigged in the cities. Let's not kid ourselves, in different places.
Well, Donald, we know that. And here's the nightmare that I see. Here we are on the verge of war with Russia because of the insane policies of Hillary Clinton, who called him Hitler, Barack Obama, who called him every name under the sun, who wants a war with him in Syria. We see war drums being beaten by even the likes of Joseph Biden. You have said you'd like to do a deal with Putin and make peace. How is it that the party of leftists wants war, Mr. Trump?
Well, they're incompetent people. Obama's an incompetent as a president, and Hillary Clinton is beyond that. Look, they made an agreement on nuclear warheads. Russia now has gotten so far ahead of us in the nuclear capacity that they better be careful what they wish for. In fact, one of the top people in Russia said, I can't believe the agreement we made. You know what I'm talking about. I can't believe the agreement we made. They didn't even ask us for anything. They asked us not to reduce anything. So we're way behind in so many different ways. And we have very, very incompetent people leading us. And she talks tough with Russia. She shouldn't be talking so tough. She ought to know what she's doing. And frankly, if we got along with Russia and knocked out ISIS, that would be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Correct. Mr. Trump, look at these headlines. Russia orders all officials to fly home. Any relatives living abroad as tensions mount over the prospect of a global war. CNN, Russia-U.S. move past Cold War to unpredictable confrontation. Nuclear war imminent as Russia tells citizens to find out where the closest bunkers are. And this low-grade media of sub-moronic idiots running in the media are talking about some tart who says you accidentally brushed against her on an airplane 20 years ago? What kind of world are we living in, Donald?
Which, by the way, didn't exist. They were made-up stories, totally made up. And it's disgusting, and you're right. And now, whenever there's anything with Russia, they say, oh, well, Russia loves Donald Trump, and Putin loves Donald Trump. And they insult him constantly. I mean, no wonder he can't stand Obama and Hillary Clinton. But it is a very serious problem. I think it's the worst. It's the worst situation we've had with Russia since the end of the Cold War, by far.
Donald, here's what scares me as a talk show host. You know that I've studied the news and I do nothing but the news day and night. I do nothing else. What they're setting you up for is that if you win the election, which could happen, by the way, you're not out yet at all. They're trying to discourage Republicans and conservatives from voting, in my opinion, because they know that you're ahead in the polls. Their own internal polls are showing you surging. They're setting it up so that if you win, this illegitimate government will claim that the Russians hacked the election and it is an illegitimate election, Donald. That's what I see coming. Do you agree with that possibility?
Well, I think this. I do think we're probably ahead because we have tremendous enthusiasm. Our people are going to all vote, and I think a lot of people, for instance, I think we're going to do very well with African Americans. I think we're going to do very well with Hispanics, Latinos. I think we're going to do very well in a lot of different ways, and I think we are ahead in the polls. And our people have enthusiasm. They're going to vote, whereas her people, they're very worried. For instance, I'm going now to, you know, I'm going to Wisconsin. We have a huge crowd. I'm going tomorrow to Colorado. We have a tremendous crowd. I'm going to Ohio and Florida, and we have 20, 25, 30,000 people all the time. She can't get 500 people into a room. It's crazy.
I know that. Look, Donald, listen, how would you defuse the situation now between Russia and the U.S., assuming the world doesn't blow up before January? What would you do if you were president? First day, what would you do with Putin to stop these war drums?
Well, the problem is we have Putin has no respect for Obama at all, doesn't like him and doesn't respect him, and Obama doesn't like Putin, but they have a great dislike for each other. And Putin has no respect at all for Obama. And I think that you have potentially a really catastrophic situation here, I'll be honest with you, because those two are not... I will say this. If I win on November 8th, and hopefully every one of your listeners is going to go out, we're going to need everybody.
Absolutely.
The Republicans have a tougher path, you know that, to get there.
Yes.
But
yes.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. I think it would be
wow. That's an amazing news story. That's fabulous, Mr. Trump. That's an amazing answer, because somebody, an adult, has to step in now and stop this this insanity. We are dealing with the most powerful nuclear foe on the planet. While Obama, as you said, has denuked us, Russia's been building up their nuclear forces. It puts us in a very bad situation. So that's, to me, the number one thing is national security. There's so many other things that you need to do when you are president. But before you go, Donald, listen, this is very important. I have seen this, and I think you just hinted at it. The whole election hinges on turnout. That is why the media is trying to make people think you've already lost the election. It's not so much to encourage the Hillary voters. It's to discourage the Trump voters, who should throw their hands up and say, we can't win. That's the worst thing that could happen. Their internal polls, according to my analysis, shows that they're in deep trouble. And they are desperate to get the voter turnout. But we need to keep the voter turnout up even higher than she does.
Well, I think their polls are showing that our people are going to turn out. And their people, they're very worried about it, because nobody cares about Hillary Clinton. And Obama's people aren't going to. African Americans are not showing up to vote for Hillary Clinton. They like me better than they like her. And I tell you what, I'm going to do a better job. And certainly with the inner cities and all of these problems that they've been lying about for years, Clinton and the Democrats. And I think we're going to do great with the African Americans. But I'll tell you this, just in a nutshell, they are very worried that their people aren't going to turn out. That's what they, and they know my people are turning out.
Donald, this Wednesday is the last of three debates. You won the last debate. I watched every minute of it. They never thought you were going to come back. You were doing a rope-a-dope on them, and you cut the legs out from under her when she threw that line at you, and she said, it's a good thing a man like him isn't president, and you shot back, or you'd be in jail. That turned the whole debate. What are you going to do this Wednesday if Meatloaf Jr. tries to set you up? Because Murdoch himself has advised all of them to back Hillary Clinton. What are you going to do when Meatloaf Jr. goes after you?
Well, we're going to find out what's going to happen. I mean, the first debate, I think we did very well. We had a very faulty microphone, as you know, and they even officially announced it, which was absolutely outrageous. There's a whole thing going on there, too. But I think we're going to do very well in the debate. I understand the subject matter very well. I don't think she does. I think she, frankly, is a highly overrated intellect. She does not understand the subject. You look at the decisions he's made over the years, Dave, every one of them virtually has been a wrong decision, whether it's Syria, Libya. I mean, just look at what she's done, including when she was the senator from New York. She said she was going to bring jobs back to upstate. Well, you know what happened. It turned out to be a disaster. So the bottom line, I think I look forward to the debate. I think we're going to do very well. I understand the subject matter very, very well, and I'm representing a lot of people.
Donald, last point. Did you know Mike Wallace at all? I'm sure you knew him well.
Very well. He did me on 60 Minutes. He was terrific.
Here's my suggestion. Don't even answer me, because I don't know if you can. If his son, who I call Meatloaf Jr., for internal reasons, it's a joke, because his father was a famous meatloaf eater. If Meatloaf Jr., who's a sneak in my opinion, don't answer me, tries to set you up the way Snow White did during the primaries, you know, all you got to do is say to him, you know, your father, Mike Wallace, would never have stooped to your low level. You will put him on the defensive because he is probably living in his father's shadow.
Well, I understand. I just hope he's going to be fair. And, you know, I didn't think they were fair with me the last debate, and I hit back at him pretty hard. I hope they're going to be fair, Michael.
We hope so, and we're all rooting for you. We know we won't hear from you until way after the debate. But just know that every listener to this show, and that ranges in the millions around the country on the internet and otherwise, this is the number one talk radio show in America on the internet, Donald. And all of them are interested in everything that you have to say, because it comes down to this. Life under Trump, death under Clinton. It's absolutely life and death in terms of our First and Second Amendments at the very least. So we all are rooting for you, Donald, and we wish you the best this Wednesday and thereafter.
Thank you, Michael. Great honor, and I will see you soon, and we'll speak to you sooner than you think, okay?
I have that umbrella ready for the inauguration.
Very good. You have a deal. You'll be there.
All right. Good luck, Donald. We're all rooting for you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You just heard the all-important interview with Donald Trump from Monday, where I asked him about what he would do if he wins the presidency, and let's hope he does. And he shocked the nation when he said he would consider meeting with Vladimir Putin before he's even inaugurated. Somehow that was an affront to those in the media who are on the left, and I don't understand why. I thought that they all wanted peace. There's great precedent for American prominent Americans to meet with adversaries to cool things down. Isn't it the media that supported Jesse Jackson, who did numerous trips to the Middle East in years past to cool things off? They didn't say anything when Bill Richardson was sent out to cool things off. So why did Obama get twisted up over Trump saying it? Why did the New York Times, Washington Post, why did they all get so pissed off that Trump said that? Have they no balance left in their minds? They may not like Trump, but as news people, they have to know history in order to know what they're talking about. Did I help him or hurt him with that interview? Graham, KSFO, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Michael, honest pleasure speaking with you. He definitely helped the nation and each and our world for that interview. Absolutely. I've been listening to you since the early 90s, and I'm honored to be on your show.
All right, I'm honored to send you scorched earth. Stay on the line. Did I help or hurt is the main question. Cindy, KBOI in Idaho. Love Idaho. Go ahead. Cindy, did I help or hurt Trump with that interview?
100% helped. Especially, sir, my dad was a merchant marine sea captain, brought many Russians over, come from an area in Washington, enclaves of Russian people. And I so thank you that you are willing to not demean the Russian people. They do care, and they support their leaders. So I think it's a marvelous thing that...
I appealed on this show yesterday to the Russian people directly. And I said most of the American people do not hate the Russian people. In fact, it's a small band of a renegade government that is trying to provoke both the leadership of Russia and the Russian people. There is no hatred for the Russian people in this country. It's coming strictly from the mad sorority surrounding the president, is what I said on this show.
And you have great wisdom to say that. My father, you know, brought me up listening to Tchaikovsky and the classics, and he loved ballet and Anna Pavlova. So I so thank you that you are the voice of reason, the watchman on the wall.
Look, in the midst of all the humor, I realize what's at stake here. We have how many different ways do I have to characterize these college girls who are running this country? They don't know what they're doing. They've never fought a real battle. They've crushed all their domestic enemies because they're bullies. They got where they are by bullying their way through academia, through the corporate world, through the government, knocked men out of the way one after the other. And in fact, you're not going to believe this. They admitted 2 weeks ago that the reason they hate Putin has nothing to do with his policies. It's because he represents the patriarchy. This is how crazy this government is. It's run by mad radical feminists. I don't know if people understand this. They said that themselves. They hate Putin because he represents the patriarchy. Does it get any crazier than that, Cindy?
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Okay. I'm sending you Scorched Earth. You know why? It's actually in there. I spend a half a chapter on what would happen, and boy, was I right. It's a must-read before the election. A few weeks is all we have left. 3 weeks. Please give your copy away to an undecided.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three of The Savage Nation. In the last hour, I replayed the important interview with Donald Trump from Monday, during which he said he would meet with Vladimir Putin should he be elected. He'd meet with him prior to being inaugurated. I thought that made good sense to me. Now, why the media would turn that into a negative is not a surprise to me, because the media is so anti-Trump, so anti-American, if you will, that if Donald Trump said that he loves his mother, they would come out the next day and say that he hates men. It's crazy. And so that's why I played it to see what he, so you could hear what he actually said. Now, as you know, he was attacked from the beginning by Megyn Kelly with her attacks when he ran in the primary. She went right after him. I expect the same in the next couple of hours from Meatloaf Jr. And we have something else for you to listen to, which is important, because in the debates after that, we have sound that we dug up of none other than Meatloaf Jr., Chris Wallace, joining his sister-in-arms, Megan Snow White Kelly, in attacking Donald Trump in previous interviews in clip two.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie several. O'Donnell.
Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton that you are part of the war on women?
I want to ask you about your business record. Trump corporations, casinos and hotels, have declared bankruptcy four times over the last quarter century. Question, sir, with that record, why should we trust you to run the nation's business?
In 2004, you said in most cases you identified as a Democrat. Even in this campaign, your critics say you often sound more like a Democrat than a Republican, calling several of your opponents on this stage things clowns and puppets. When did you actually become a Republican?
Trump Entertainment Resorts, which went bankrupt in 2009. In that case alone, lenders to your company lost over $1 billion and more than 1,100 people.
Donald Trump has chosen not to attend this evening's presidential debate. What message do you think that sends?
I'm a maniac, and everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. Now that we've gotten the Donald Trump portion out of the way.
All very humorous, but you have to ask yourself, if any of that is true, first of all, they have a right to ask it. I'm not saying they don't. But why did they not ask questions to Mrs. Clinton about the hundreds of millions of dollars that were funneled to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State? Why don't they ask Mrs. Clinton about the Stinger missiles that were transferred from Libya and wound up in the hands of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, which were used against our own Air Force and helicopter forces? Why don't they ask about so many other things in the same forceful manner that they address these questions to Donald Trump? That's the real question. It's not that I'm offended that they ask about the bankruptcies or the this and the that. That is their job. But it's only half their job. The other half of their job is to ask the other candidate questions that are just as tough about situations that are even more damaging to this nation. For example, Mrs. Clinton, isn't it true that you championed the Arab Spring policies that were created by Zbigniew Brzezinski, funded by George Soros, as pointed out in the seminal book Scorched Earth by Michael Savage? Are you ashamed that you forwarded the scorched earth policy of the Arab Spring onto Europe? And do you take any responsibility for the massive numbers of refugees pouring out of Syria into Europe? As a follow-up question to Mrs. Clinton, when Gaddafi was cornered, Mrs. Clinton, he's quoted as saying, Colonel Gaddafi, I pray that the Western powers do not kill me, because if they do, Libya will descend into chaos along the lines of Somalia, where warlords will run Libya, which will be a disaster for Libya and the world. Are you sorry that you celebrated the death of Muammar Gaddafi, when you were heard on tape saying, "We came, we saw, he died," how do you feel about that today, Mrs. Clinton? How come you're not going to hear that tonight from Meat Loaf Jr.? The answer is because it's a one-way show. You understand? All right. That's the opening to hour number three. And you should never forget what I just said. Those are some of the big issues that must be talked about. I believe most Americans do understand what is at stake. I don't underestimate the American people. And I said so the other day. In fact, I reminded you yesterday to put this election into perspective as what many regard as the most pivotal presidential contest of our time. And it is in today's free Michael Savage newsletter, which you can get for free just by going to michaelsavage.com and subscribing. It's free. It comes into your inbox three times a week. And what I reminded you yesterday was that just before the Revolutionary War, 30% of the Americans did not want to fight the British. Only 30% of the Americans wanted to fight the British. And 30% of the American people didn't even know who the British were. They didn't care. And I said it's very eerily similar now. Do you realize it's only 30% of us who will stand up to this New World Order tyranny, run by men like George Soros, in my opinion, represented by the lowlifes in the highest places of government in all Western democracies? Do you realize it's as though we have been taken over by a tyranny, that we're living in a tyranny? Do you have any idea? Yes, of course you do. That's why a man like Trump is getting as far as he is. Unknown to politics, makes one mistake after another, one gaffe after another, and no matter what they do to him, no matter how the little tiny people like Blitzer and Tapper try to smear him, no matter how Snow White pretends her skirts are clean when they're filthier than a gutter rat, no matter how they try to smear him, he keeps rising in the polls. Do you know why? Because most Americans understand what is at stake. We are being taken over by a New World Order tyranny, a government more powerful than the British were when they owned this nation as a colony. We are literally facing very similar elements that the American patriots did just before the Revolutionary War. And if you think this is all hyperbole, study your history and you'll find out what I'm talking about. In that regard, Donald Trump may be our George Washington. He may not be our Winston Churchill, as bumbling as you may think he is, because of the misinterpretations put into your head by the lowlifes in the media and in the highest places in this nation. Trump may be our George Washington to lead us across the Delaware and to defeat the New World Order, who are the British of yesteryear. And I wrote all of this before in other ways in Scorched Earth, which is why it's a raging bestseller. And my friends, nothing has changed. And tonight, everything is at stake. If you just tuned in, we all know that in debate one, Hillary won because it was a bias against Trump. He did not go on the attack, and as a result, he lost. In debate two, Hillary was winning in the beginning. He was playing rope-a-dope-a, and then he came out like a tiger, and he mauled her. When she said, thinking she owned the debate in debate two, and I remember it very clearly, she said, "It's a good thing," marching around in her pantsuit. She thought she had him under control like a tiger, like a lion tamer. She was walking around like a lion tamer, and she thought she had him. And she said, "It's a good thing that the lion isn't president." And he snapped, "Or you'd be in jail." At that point, the lion tamer dropped her whip. And she was whipped, she was beaten, she never recovered, she lost her balance. So now we go into debate number three tonight, where everything is riding on whether Trump does not take the bait from Meat Loaf Jr., does not answer the false allegations of women, turns around and attacks Hillary on the very, very real weaknesses that she has. Watch it tonight when it starts. It's only a few hours off. If he takes the bait and starts apologizing or trying to explain away the charges by the women, he's finished. It's over. The election will be over. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. That's my opinion. This is the Savage Nation. If you have an opinion, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let us go to some of the callers. KSFO, John, line two. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Michael, thanks for taking my call. Just love your show. I thought the interview was fantastic. I really like Donald Trump. I think he's a lot smarter than people give him credit for.
Right.
And I also caught your interview with Alex on his show yesterday. I thought it was fantastic. And just have to tell you, the scholar from Pleasant Hill was the one that originally put me on to you, and I've really been enjoying your show ever since.
Wait, who from Pleasant Hill?
You used to refer to him as the scholar from Pleasant Hill. I've lost
Who is that?
Track of him, but you used to really...
Oh, that's a long time ago, back in the 90s, I think. I don't. That's when I was a local host in the 90s. Listen, John, I have a very loyal listenership around the country, and perhaps no more loyal than here at KSFO. I am the voice of San Francisco, despite what the so-called progressives would have you believe. I've been around so long and so prominent in the media. I'm the only local media member in San Francisco who made it to the national level on every level. And I know that my listenership extends deeply into the Democrat and liberal side as well. And with less than 3 weeks to go for Election Day, here's something you will not read in the local newspapers. According to the latest Rasmussen Report poll released today, Clinton and Donald Trump are in a dead heat. They are tied. Did you know that? I don't think you read that in the local San Francisco papers.
Well, I think the poll, I think the polling is totally ridiculous. I think he's got a far greater following. I mean, you look at what O'Keefe has brought out, you bring out the WikiLeaks that the mainstream media doesn't even deal with, and I think it's overwhelming for Trump.
So do I, and I think that most conservatives are not polled and will not be polled, and I think there could be a huge surprise on Election Day. But here's the caveat. George Soros is connected to companies that have counting machines, voting machines in 16 states. This man is a villain. This man should be chased down by the FBI if Donald Trump wins, and all of his shenanigans should be investigated thoroughly by the proper investigative committee, and if found guilty, he should be finally charged for his crimes against this nation. Now, that's a wishful thought. It will never happen. It will never happen even if Trump wins. I think he has so much power and so much money that this villain, this genuine world villain, this guy, this villain is so bad, I don't think he's touchable. That's my opinion. Now, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my best-selling book?
Scorched Earth.
Do you want it?
Absolutely.
Why? Why didn't you buy it?
Well, I haven't bought it yet. I'm looking forward to getting it.
All right. You're going to get a free copy. I'm just joking. Now, I often ask people, they like me, they don't buy the book. Why don't they support the show? Why don't they support Trump? Why don't they read what's in it and give it to a Prague? I don't know. Maybe people don't have money. I don't know, really. Maybe not everyone has money. It's not a, you know, the truth is people need money. Maybe they can't afford a book. Who knows? All right. Look, here's the thing, guys. When I come back, I'll take your calls on, well, on anything you want. It's that simple. About the Trump-Clinton debate tonight. That's all I want to talk about. Do you think that they will try to set him up? And how so? That
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Listen, don't believe anything that you hear in the media that it's all over for Hillary. It's nonsense. The latest poll by a very reliable Rasmussen was conducted amongst 1,500 likely voters. Take it for what it is. And it shows that they're neck and neck. They're absolutely tied. Clinton 35. No, that's a different part of the poll. Let's see. I'm going to go right to the top. Trump tied with Clinton. That's the number one thing with less than 3 weeks to go. Clinton 42. Trump 42. Gary Johnson 7. Green Party candidate Jill Stein 1%. Some other candidate 3. Undecided 6. Among women, Clinton had a broad 18-point lead over Trump because women are very emotional, and they took the bait about the false charges against him. They'd rather talk about that than about her destroying the Middle East and the world. Well, we can't help it. Everyone's entitled to vote in America. Isn't democracy wonderful? But nevertheless, despite the smear campaign against Trump and the emotional appeal to women by the very clever devils who run her campaign, the fact is that they're neck and neck. Now, they're both battling controversies, but I want to ask you something. The videotape of Donald Trump making lewd comments about women a few weeks ago, how do you compare that with Hillary Clinton's scandals? Tell me what's more damaging for the United States of America. What a man said in jest to another man on a party bus in 2005, or what a woman who would be president has actually done on the world stage while Secretary of State. And while you're pondering that, in all fairness, why don't you think about what the Arab Spring has actually done to the Middle East, the refugee crisis it has created? And while you're pondering that, think about Hillary Clinton laughing when Gaddafi was about to be killed. We came, we saw he died. And while you're thinking about that, think about Hillary Clinton, the very balanced, emotionally stable woman, calling Putin Hitler 2 years ago. And while you're thinking about that and making up your mind, think about all the other scandals surrounding the Clinton family, such as the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in cash that was fed directly into the Clinton Foundation in order to get access to Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. It was a turnstile. Do you feel good about that? So if you analyze and use your brain instead of your emotions, you will find out that what Trump said about women on a bus in 05, as repugnant as it may be, is nothing compared to what Hillary Clinton has actually done. And so if you want a totally corrupt individual running America, you could not do any better than voting Democrat. And that's my campaign speech of the day. That leaves us with only about a minute left in this segment. And I want to play for you the 3-to-1 moderator interruptions in the last debate in clip 4. Let's start that one, Robert, please.
Ambassador Stevens.
The question is that the discipline of a good leader?
Six
said a lot of things.
Mr. Trump, we're going to go on. This is about the audience.
Disaster as a senator.
Mr. Trump, we're going to move on. Oh, please.
You didn't delete him?
Allow her to respond, please.
Personally, what do you think will happen if Aleppo falls?
I think Aleppo is a disaster humanitarian-wise.
What do you think will happen if it falls?
How stupid is our country?
There are sometimes reasons the military does that. Psychological warfare.
I can't think of any. I can't think of any.
It might be to help get civilians out.
Getting a subpoena from the United States Congress.
We have to move on. Secretary Clinton, you can respond, and we got to move on.
We want to give the audience a chance here.
Be put in jail, let alone after getting a subpoena from the United States Congress.
Secretary Clinton, you can respond, then we have to move on to the audience.
This was the lowest moment in American news history, and the new low was achieved by Anderson Stupor and Martha Rad, whatever her name is, who stepped all over Trump, ganged up on him. I can expect worse tonight from the slimy Meatloaf Jr. He's about as slimy as Meatloaf left in Las Vegas sun on an August day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
You're not going to get substance tonight from Meatloaf Jr. You're not going to get substance tonight from the commentators. You expect the commentators to talk about World War III? You expect the commentators to talk about the Dem operative who oversaw the Trump rally agitators visited the White House 342 times? You expect any of the vermin in the media to disclose to you that a key piece of garbage in a Democratic scheme to send agitators to cause unrest at Donald Trump's rallies visited the White House 342 times since 2009, according to just-released White House records? You expect any of them to talk about Robert Creamer, who acted as a middle scum man between the Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, and protesters, who tried and succeeded to provoke violence at Trump rallies, met with President the Snake Obama 47 times, according to White House records? Do you expect to hear any of this tonight? No. Do you expect to hear tonight that Google's Eric Schmidt, another despicable, backstabbing American, no matter how much he's worth, a no-goodnik, is working directly with the Clinton campaign? Did you hear what I just said to you? Eric Schmidt, the chief executive of Alphabet, Google's parent company, is working directly with Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, according to a memo contained within an email released by WikiLeaks. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This is all coming out. We have a shadow government run by some of the worst people in the history of America. In another century, men like Eric Schmidt, in my opinion, would have been called robber barons. Now, the reason I call Eric Schmidt a robber baron is because if you study Google's tax records, you will see that they do not pay their fair share. Now, all of you voters who liked the old man, the Seltzer man, I affectionately called him, Bernie the Commie Seltzer man from Vermont, who's really from Brooklyn, Bernie knows that they're not paying their fair share. But Bernie never said anything about Google or Facebook, because Google and Facebook are on the same side as Bernie. But you people who wanted honesty in government, wouldn't you like to see Google pay their fair share of taxes? Wouldn't you like to see a legitimate government saying, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to use the triple Irish method to have your income come in through an Irish holding company so you don't pay federal tax? Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see Mark Zuckerberg? After all, it wouldn't hurt him. What is he worth, $58 billion? Think of how many less undershirts he would buy if he paid half of that in taxes immediately. Let's say he paid $24 billion for his political beliefs. He'd still be able to buy undershirts in Neiman Marcus for $80 a pop. So in this debate tonight, let's talk about tonight. Megyn Kelly, who I call Snow White for obvious reasons, has a cohort on Fox News named Chris Wallace, who I affectionately call Meatloaf Jr., for reasons I may or may not describe again later. I've done it too many times for it to be funny to me anymore. But we'll call Chris Wallace Meatloaf Jr. So today I ask you, how do you think Meatloaf Jr. will attack Donald Trump? Because you know Meatloaf Jr. is incapable of being a straight moderator. I mean, by the mere fact that he's a moderator, he's not a straight moderator. He's a setup artist. They all are. What do you think Meatloaf Jr. will do to attack Trump tonight? Now, I'll tell you right now, right off the bat, I'm not depressed over any of this. I'm kind of depressed. I'm not depressed over any of this. I'm agitated and sad at the same time. Trump has the power tonight to win the presidency. Debate one, he lost. Debate two, he won. This is the final round of a three-round fight. And the only way he wins tonight is by not letting Meatloaf Jr. or the others drag him into the mud of the sexual stuff, the woman stuff, because it's a false canard. They refuse to talk about all the people who have lost their lives in Libya, for example, Benghazi. I mean, we know what happened in Libya. We know it, and it should be brought up, and it's not an old story, it's a new story. It just came out this week from the WikiLeaks dumps, and they dumped it. You want to know the real story? Oh, you heard it, you're bored, you know all about the U.S.-made Stinger missiles supplied to Ansar al-Sharia without congressional oversight and permission. I know. You know all of that. You know Hillary brokered the deal through Ambassador Stevens with a private arms dealer named Mark Turi. You know all of that, right? And you know that the shoulder-fired missiles ended up in Afghanistan and used against our own military. You know all of that. And you know on July 25th, 2012, a Chinook helicopter was taken down by one of our own Stinger missiles. You know all of this. You don't want to hear about this. You'd rather hear about Donald Trump sneezing on an airplane and his droplets hitting a woman on the back of the plane in 1971. I know that that's much more important to the demented people in America. Now, you do know that Obama and Hillary committed treason by supplying these Stinger missiles to our enemies. You know that. And you do know that they threw Petraeus under the bus because he wouldn't supply these deadly weapons due to their potential use on commercial aircraft. And you know that Obama the snake threw Petraeus under the bus because he refused to testify that he okayed the talking points about a spontaneous uprising due to a YouTube video. And you knew that Hillary Clinton withheld support that the military was ready to give to save Ambassador Stevens and the special forces down there in Benghazi. But it's old news. And you know that Bo Bergdahl, remember him, was a traitor, a pawn. He was traded for five Taliban field generals by Barack Obama to make sure the five Taliban field generals could go back into the field. You know all of this. And that's why you support Hillary Clinton, because most of you are traitors. And it's too much for you to remember any of this, so I won't talk about it, because you're not going to hear about it tonight. But as one of the most listened to commentators in America, in streaming, the show is number one, no matter what anyone tells you, numbers don't lie. This is the number one streaming radio talk show in the United States of America by a huge number. My share is about a 25 share, which means one-fourth of all the people who are streaming radio talk shows are listening to this show. And the great Rush Limbaugh is at 13.7%. And he's a fabulous talk show host. He does the greatest imitations of Clinton from the 80s and things like that. I mean, it's really good to live in nostalgia. So the fact is that someone who's listened to, I have an obligation. And I'll be very honest with you. I've been on the front lines of this for so long, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm sitting on the ramparts with a loaded gun. And although I can fire the gun and my sights are clear, my vision is clear, I'm exhausted. If I'm exhausted, I can just imagine how you're feeling from this. I know you have election fatigue. I know that this is a dog and pony show. I know that most Americans hate the political system today more than they ever have in their whole lives. They also know the two of them, the least qualified candidates in American history, are running for the office. And I'll say that as a man who supported Trump. Don't think I'm a fool. For 1 minute, don't think I'm an idiot. He is not the most qualified man in the history of America to run for the Republican nomination, but he's the best that we have. And the proof of that is he's gotten this far. The thing is this, look, we're building up to the last debate. It's going to be over, and thank God it'll be over. Everyone's going to decide who won tonight, and then it'll be like, can he still win? Did he beat her? If he beats her, he can still win. If he loses, he's done. If he lets her get the upper hand, it's like a sumo match. If she grabs him with the hand and pushes him around the ring, he's done. He can't win today. That's the end of it today. If, on the other hand, he doesn't take the bait from Meatloaf Jr. or any of the other snakes, and he goes on the attack, no matter what they say to him, he shrivels Meatloaf down to a green pea. You shrivel Meatloaf up. I told him on the show Monday, hey, look, don't consider me a marginal player just because I have an accent like an ex-truck driver from New York in the 50s. Don't underestimate me just because I sound like a longshoreman on the waterfront. I'm neither of those things, and I have nothing against longshoremen or truck drivers, believe me. But Donald Trump was on this program on Monday. Everyone else talks about Trump. I'm the only one who gets him on the air. So you just be clear here what you're listening to. I told Trump on Monday on this show the following, and I'll repeat it again in case you didn't hear it. I said to Donald Trump, I said, if he comes at you with a setup, which he's going to do, because he works for Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch is already in Hillary's camp. He works for Rupert Murdoch. Murdoch's in Hillary's camp. I said, if the puppet comes at you tonight with an attack, the way Megyn Kelly did in the primaries, don't answer him. Pull a Reagan on him. Stand back, smile, don't get angry. Don't pull one of your famous Donald Trump anger jobs. Do a Reagan. Pull back, smile. Look at him, look down at him. And say, you know, Chris, I knew your father, Mike Wallace, who would be rolling over in his grave right now with shame for you, because he was a real distinguished man. He'd be ashamed for what you are doing. I said, what you'll do with that, Donald, is you'll reduce him to the mini-me of his father that he's always been. He's lived in his father's shadow all his life. He's embarrassed that he never came up to his father's level on 60 Minutes. He's just a marginal yenta on Fox News. Major League, he's not. And don't expect substance from any of them tonight. You're not going to hear about the Russia. You're not going to hear about nuclear war that Hillary wants, or World War III with Russia. That is so beyond the average person out there. It's not real to them. See, I do my show from several different studios. I'm primarily in a white suburban neighborhood. It's my way of being Voltaire and observing the Parisians in the 19th century. So I observe white middle-class behavior the way Voltaire observed Parisian behavior in the 19th century. And he wrote about it. He wrote about all of their, you know, their lifestyle, what they did. He ridiculed them. And he became very, very famous. That's what he did. He observed them. So I look at these people as though I'm from Brobdingnag, looking at them. And I see guys in the suburbs doing the normal things that people did in the 50s, like nothing changed. The lawn is mowed. The car is washed. The children are on skateboards. They don't know anything about World War III looming because of the lunatic in the White House provoking Putin. The way that, even if they read about it, you know what they would say? There's nothing I could do about it. I'll worry about it when it happens. Johnny, come in for your lunch. Jenny, come in for your Adderall. That's all. They bring the kids in for the medication and the sugary foods. And the wife is somewhere in Pillville in the back of the house. She don't care what's going on. She's looking at herself in the mirror taking pills. It's like watching the Stepford Wives wherever I go. It's like a lunatic. No one seems to know anything about anything. Crazy. So you expect them to care that I have an email finally that was released by WikiLeaks that came out over the weekend, that Hillary intervened personally to not intervene on my behalf and help keep me banned in Britain. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to go to Britain. And I have the actual email. But I have good news for you. I just got news right now. We are posting a digital version of Banned in Britain with all of the Hillary emails, all of the emails from the British Prime Minister banning me to make Muslims feel better. And here it is. And my letters to them, Minister Gordon Brown, blah, 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 Prime Minister Gordon. And it's all in this book. It's not going to be a big seller. I'm not going to buy new tires for my car, but I'm doing it so there's a permanent record for you to buy. It'll be like a couple of bucks on a Kindle edition. It'll be up in the next 24 to 48 hours. I just want you to know about it. I'm bypassing publishers. I've got a digital edition of Banned in Britain. It's going up on Amazon Kindle, and you'll be able to buy it for a few dollars. So you have a permanent record of what Hillary Clinton did. I'm telling you right now. Tech support said it'd take only 12 hours until people can buy it once it's live, down from 40. Okay, so it'll be up by the weekend. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Get real for a minute here. This is actually as real as we could ever get, because there's nothing else to talk about. The debate tonight, what do you want me to do, tell you what the questions are? I don't know what they are. I can tell you what they're going to be like. They're going to attack him from the first second. Just look, it's as simple as that. If he takes the bait, he's finished. He's done. If he goes on a defensive about, did you sneeze on a woman? Did you rub against her? Did you brush against her? Did you do this? He's done. Hillary will lead him around the ring like a sumo and throw him off the mat. That's it. If, on the other hand, when the debate begins, if he goes on the attack and talks about Stinger missiles, Benghazi, if he talks about the death of Chris Stevens, if he talks about the report that came out yesterday in the Inquirer about her having female lovers. I mean, all he's got to do is say, look, yesterday, a big publication came out in the National Enquirer from a man who worked for you for many years, which says that you had many women lovers while your husband was president. Is that still true? I mean, it would bring the house down. Tell me it wouldn't bring the house down. Do you still like women in that way? Nothing wrong with it. We're not saying it's morally wrong. We're asking you if you still like women after what your husband did to you. It's like he could even lead it that way now that I think about it. He could say, because your husband continuously wounded your pride by having everything with a pulse in the Oval Office, we understand that you were injured by that. Do you still like women in that way? Or is that all false? Do you care to address those allegations? Now, Meatloaf Jr. would have a stroke on the stage. He'd lose control of it. What would happen for Donald is anyone's guess. My guess is the audience would love it, meaning you. Never mind the people who are going to be in the theater. See the cameras, like a fight, who's going to be in the front row. It's like they're seating people front row. He's got the whole family there, the blonde family. He's overplaying them, by the way. It's too much. They're nice people, don't get me wrong. It's too many blonde, svelte women. Last time I checked, most women don't look like that. See, there's a resentment factor. I'm just giving a little of the whole stay. Is no one in his family fat? Doesn't he have a distant relative who's misshapen? Couldn't he bring his sister in who's a judge? Some normal-looking person, not like a beauty queen. That would help him more than more of the svelte blondes. I can't imagine what the diet is like in the Trump camp. Don't they ever eat anything? How do they stay so slender? I mean, they're beautiful women. And children, no less, and they're still thin. How do they do that? It's genetics, I guess. But not everybody likes competing with a perfect first family. See, it's another thing. Maybe they want someone like who has like a normal kid or something, or like a sister-in-law who's like a little nuts who talks to herself in the front row. Like even a drooler would be better for him right now. Even if he put a drooler in the front row and said with pride, I'd like you to meet my sister, the drooler. She's a wonderful person. Don't be fooled by her appearance. That would work for him in America today. 50% of America looks like that. They're just capable of getting their welfare check. That's about it. They don't know anything more, so they would relate to that more than the svelte. I'm just thinking out loud, that's all, filling airspace with reality. This is the kind of reality that I feel is the best. What's this now? Canada Free Press article is one. It really is. No one's talking about it. Came out from the WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton wouldn't intervene on my behalf. Hillary Clinton, in other words, agreed with England to ban me from England. Totally illegal. Total lie, total setup. She was Secretary of State, supposed to represent me, didn't. Huge story. No one covered it. Only Alex Jones had me on. Go figure that out. Think about that. Nobody in the American media would cover that story. So what do you expect tonight? Expect truth in politics?
Savage.